It's Inside Ivy Hoops Podcast, and it's Brett Franklin and Jill Glessner with you. It's now time to go to the expert hotline and talk some Harvard basketball, and why not? Both the men and the women having very successful seasons so far. And to get a little bit more insight on the Crimson from ivyhoopsonline.com, you can catch all his coverage on the Harvard Crimson basketball teams. It's Robert Crawford joining us. How are you, Robert?
Great. How are you, Brett?
Doing well, and we're excited to have you along here for us on your debut on the podcast, so we'll try not to put you to the fire too quickly here, all right?
All right.
I'm curious if once Bryce Aiken went down with an injury that, you know, sitting here on February, 22nd, that you would think that Harvard had clinched a top two seed in the Ivy tournament. They're sitting at 9-1 right now. Would you say that since that injury, are you surprised that they are where they are, or did you have faith that kind of the collectively that they would fill the void?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm surprised. That's the short answer. And I think I knew some way they would fill some of the loss, but the way they've done it, I think, is not something I would have expected. When Aiken went down for a few games, they were kind of lost. They didn't really have much offense for a few games. And when you have a guy like Bryce Aiken on your team, he fills a lot of holes. He covers a lot of mistakes for a lot of guys. When things aren't going right, he can be your offense, and he can have three guys on him, and his ball still might go in the hoop. So he's one of those guys that kind of makes up for other people's mistakes. And when he went out, it kind of forced everyone to pick it up a little bit. And I think we saw the Crimson struggle a little bit, right, when Aiken went down. But I think his absence has forced a lot of guys to play in the big moments, to make the big plays that he's not making, and they're a better team because of it. And I think Christian Juzang is a great example, not a guy who got a lot of time. Suddenly he's the starting point guard, and it looks like if Aiken comes back, Juzang might not relinquish that role. So I think Aiken going down in a way kind of has increased this team's ceiling, and now if he's able to come back, he won't have to be the only option because other guys have learned to fill that void and learned to play without him. So in a way, it's actually turned out kind of nicely for the Crimson, but at the same time, you'd hope you could have him back for the Ivy tournament and provide kind of that scoring role that he's always provided.
What's impressed me about the Crimson is their defense. They're top 30 in the league or in the nation in points allowed, and we saw the defense up here in Hanover. It's probably the best 20 minutes of defense I have seen in covering Ivy League men's basketball here in 6 years in Hanover. And it's just very impressive. While they're not blowing you away with scoring, because they're actually towards the bottom of scoring nationally at 326, but the defense is just so suffocating. It's a little different to see in today's game, more on the defensive heavy side, and it's really working for the Crimson so far.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Tommy Amaker's teams always find a way to play defense. That's one kind of consistent thing, no matter what, whether it's an up year or down year, you always see them playing good defense. And I think two guys to highlight: Justin Bassey, a really great perimeter defender. I don't want to sell him short by calling him a glue guy, but he does all those things. He's also extremely athletic, good offensive player, but he's a great perimeter defender, always guarding the best player. And then Chris Lewis, down low, protecting the paint. I believe he leads the league in blocks at the moment. So those two guys, having the protection of Lewis on the backside and Bassey shut down the opponent's perimeter, best perimeter scorer, is really helpful. And then the team defense, as you mentioned, is also really impressive.
Going back to Christian Juzang, offensively, you know, he had a career high versus Brown, 21 points, and then he had 13 points, you know, on the Saturday versus Yale. Do you think Tommy Amaker is a reason, you know, has instilled a bit of confidence? Like you said, you know, if Aiken were to come back, he might not even start. So can you talk about, like, kind of the emergence of Juzang?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to mention is he's just been hitting his shots. He's had a lot of tough shots at the end of shot clocks, and he's been hitting a lot of tough shots, and that kind of breeds more confidence, which breeds maybe more makes. And I think it's partly that, and it's also when he's starting point guard, he doesn't have to deal with the same kind of burden as a Bryce Aiken. So he's really looking for others. Seth Towns might be a first option. Chris Lewis might be an option ahead of Juzang. But that kind of means when no one's paying attention and he's open from three, he's really been hitting his shots. And he's not a guy who's going to go attack every possession. But when you leave him that opportunity, he's going to make things happen. And I think he had a few hot games, and that's bred more confidence, and teammates have confidence in him. And I mean, one thing I noticed from him in the Yale game is something I hadn't really seen from him before. Guys kind of being out of position on defense, and he's calling them out. He's directing them, and he's just showing a lot of confidence that I hadn't seen from a guy who really didn't play many minutes up until Bryce Aiken's injury.
Robert, when we look at the head coach, Tommy Amaker, and the job he's done in Cambridge, and you know, just having watched him over the past several years and talking with other folks who have watched his career as well, he's almost kind of coached differently these past two seasons with Harvard. Usually he's a much more calm demeanor and, you know, definitely more observing. But we've seen this past 2 years with the younger crop of players here coming to Harvard, that much more active on the sideline, has had, it seems like he's almost had a coach a little differently. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I would agree. I mean, I think he's had different challenges this year, especially when you look at Harvard's runs. They had Siani Chambers for 4 years. He took a gap year for an injury. So he was really there for over a span of 5 years. During that period, you always had his leadership. Even when he was a freshman, he kind of got caught on quickly and became coach on the floor. And before that, during Harvard's main runs, they kind of had a core group. So there wasn't really, as you were saying, kind of Amaker didn't have to, I won't say do as much, but there was more, guys kind of knew what they were doing. This is a new group, and they kind of got to learn on the fly, and Amaker's trying to coach them up. I think another thing that I've seen from Amaker this year is if you've been following Harvard's lineups, he's kind of doing some weird things earlier in the year. Harvard had a few bad games, and he was starting, quite frankly, the last five guys off the bench would start in a game, and it's kind of puzzling, but definitely a way to send a message. And He has had a history of doing that about once every season. He did it a few times this season, but definitely a sign that he's had to change some things up. But at this point, you can't argue with the results, so he's been able to get it done.
Do you think he's having to send that message? I mean, you look in the game versus Yale started four sophomores and a junior, so no senior in that starting lineup. I mean, that sophomore class was one of the top recruiting classes in the nation. But with a young group, you would think that, you know, like you said, is that he has to kind of send these messages because there's a lot of lessons to be learned. I mean, they're only sophomores, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they're only sophomores, but they're getting a lot of game experience. And for sophomores, they have more game experience than a lot of others. So I think you can send all the messages you want, but in the end, the real way of seeing this team improve is just by going out there. They lose a few games, but they get better. And luckily, some of that losing happened in the non-conference. They were able to sort things out by conference play. And I think they've just been playing games together and learning from that. And it's exciting to see a group learn on the fly like that. And you can really see the improvement over a season.
Robert, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what the atmosphere is like in Lavides Pavilion? Brett and I, we talk about how both Harvard's team, men and women, play really, really well at home. And I know mm-hmm. that the men have sold out a couple games. What is it like to play Harvard at home?
Yeah, the atmosphere at Lavides, it's something that Harvard definitely feeds off of. I mean, for example, for TV reasons, I believe Harvard's game versus Yale got pushed back to 9:30 p.m., which is a late start. But for any Harvard-Yale game, students came and packed it, and there's a pretty good following of non-students also. It'll sell out whether or not the students are out in full force, but for these Ivy games, you'll see the students there, and the brand-new renovations beautifully done, and I mean, Harvard's home record is speaks for itself, so they definitely like playing there, and when the crowd gets into it, it's a bonus.
Robert, looking at this weekend as Harvard goes on the road, you got a pretty big matchup with Penn where you can most likely wrap up the number one seed or really put yourself in the driver's seat with the number one seed. And then, of course, you've got Princeton on the other end, which have struggled this year, but still a tough place to go to at Jadwin Gymnasium. What's your outlook here in this weekend as the Crimson go on the road?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the Penn game, I'm looking forward to. Harvard and Penn have wrapped up the top two spots in the league, so it's not as an important game as maybe it was a few years ago. But Harvard kind of handled Penn at home, and I think I'm curious to know, was that kind of an outlier? Or if Harvard does that again, what does that say about their odds down the line in the tournament, especially because Harvard's going to have to beat Penn at the Palestra in the tournament. It's interesting to see how they can do there this weekend. And, I mean, I think it'll be a good game, two good teams. I think Penn will make it closer than they did last time. And it'll be also interesting to see, again, talking about young players, how they come in and play in that kind of environment. Luckily, a lot of the same guys who were playing last year in the Ivy tournament, obviously didn't end the way Harvard wanted to, but good to know they have that experience. And against Princeton, I mean, Princeton's really struggling, but Jadwin has not been a nice place for Harvard or any team really to play. It's kind of a different animal. And I think even if Harvard might be the favorite, it wouldn't shock a lot of people if that game came down to the wire and it was a really close game. Princeton's well-coached team, tough building to play in, and we'll see. I think it'll be two good games.
Switching to the women's side, we just talked about they play really well at home. Right now they're in a three-way tie for third. You know, they win out on the tiebreaker, so they would be technically going to the Palestra if the Ivy tournament was today. But shockingly, I thought that maybe they would put up a fight against Penn and Princeton the first time around. Were you shocked to see that they were, you know, both almost 20, I think it was 20 points, 18 point losses for them against those two teams?
I mean, that is surprising to me, but again, going on the road complicates things. You want to, those are two of the top 50 teams in the country, even Penn and Princeton, and you'd like to see them put up a fight against at least one of them, but you know, they're going to have to beat Penn or Princeton at one point if they want to go all the way, but yeah, it did surprise me that they got blown out. But again, those are two really good teams. It's tough to expect a win necessarily, but especially on the road. But a close game, I think, would have been what I would have expected.
Who would you say, I don't know, if you've watched the team play, you know, I would think that Katie Benzin is probably one of their most important players on the floor, not only because she's running the offense, but because she's a capable scorer in and outside of the three. Would you agree with that, or do you think that there's someone else on that roster that is a testament to their success?
I mean, I would agree. I would think there are plenty of players. I mean, for example, in their win over Brown last weekend, which was a big win and a road game against Brown, and six players had double figures. So I think Benson's definitely the leader of that team, averaging 15.3 points in conference play. But at the same time, everyone has to pitch in against Yale. Benson only had nine. She was hitting some big shots late. But I think Benson is definitely a key. And when she doesn't play well, it's tough for everyone else to make up for that. But also, she's not doing it by herself.
Final question, Robert, here, and looking at the women's team in this season, it just seems like it's kind of been an up and down result. And I mean, is that a little bit surprising out there in Cambridge? I mean, it's kind of been almost like, you know, we mentioned earlier, they were a different team when they played Penn and Princeton on the road. I mean, it almost seems like night and day when they're playing at home and when they're playing on the road. But I would imagine here with a little bit more of a home-friendly schedule down the stretch that the Crimson love to play at home, and as it's shown in their record.
Yeah, I mean, especially another interesting thing is there have been a lot of these games haven't necessarily even been close. I mean, they beat Brown pretty good, and then they lost to Penn and Princeton by a lot. So you're kind of wondering, there's got to be somewhere in between there is where their actual level is. And I kind of assume you'll see that play out because it just seems unlikely that they'll keep winning by a lot and then losing by a lot. But you mentioned the schedule. I mean, they have the P's at home, which is obviously the place you want to play them, but you got the two best teams in the league this weekend. And the last weekend they have the two bottom teams in the league and they're fighting for that playoff spot. So it'll be really interesting. They can't really falter against one of those bad teams, but if they could steal a win against one of the P's, that would be huge for their playoff chances, and that would just be enormous for them. So interesting to see, an interesting schedule, and it'll be interesting to see how they play that.
Robert Crawford covers the Harvard Crimson men's and women's basketball on Ivy Hoops Online, and kind enough to join us here on the podcast. Great insight, sir. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for joining us.